The address for today is based on the Gospel reading from Mark chapter 6, which I read a few moments ago, and I'll reread a few selected verses. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. Finally, the opportune time came on Herod's birthday, when the daughter of Herodias danced and pleased Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you. I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever felt between a rock and a hard place? Whatever you do with the situation faced, you are in a no-win situation. Sometimes these situations arise due to no real fault of your own. Maybe you receive two wedding invites or two birthday invitations on the same day, and you want to go to both, but you simply can't. You are between a rock and a hard place. Other times, when you're between a rock and a hard place, it is self-inflicted. You are double booked because you forgot to check your diary before promising to be somewhere else. And often, when we're caught between a rock and a hard place, like being double booked, we're tempted not to be honest about it and try to cover up our mistakes. Another example, you reverse into your front fence when getting out your driveway. Instead of owning up to it, you try and hide it. I mean, the damage is only minor. Just a small dent in the fence. Only a very minor scratch on the car. King Herod, in our text today, finds himself between a rock and a hard place, which is self-inflicted. He married his brother's wife, Herodias. And these actions were forbidden by Jewish law, as written in Leviticus 18, verse 16, where it specifically states, you can't marry your brother's wife. And John the Baptist points this out to Herod and Herodias, that their actions were unlawful. So what is their response to their wrongdoings getting brought out into the spotlight? They get upset. Herodias holds a grudge. The same thing happens in today's world. People get told they've made a mistake or committed a sin, and how do they react? They get all defensive. We don't like what's being said to us. We may even get angry or annoyed. Our sinful human nature takes over. Now, if we go back to our driveway fence scenario, the devil convinces our conscience that all is fine whilst no one knows what happens. But what happens when your spouse or family member asks, "Joel, did you know there's a small scratch in our car?" Or, "Joel, do you know how that small dent got in our fence?" "No, I don't," blatant lie. Another sin to cover up your previous sin of being deceptive and trying to hide the damage. Why? Because we get caught up in our own pride and we can't admit fault. King Herod found himself in the same dilemma in our text. Not only has he committed a marriage sin, we learn that a birthday celebration takes a turn for the worse when a young girl dances for Herod and his guests. A girl dancing for a group of males who are more than pleased with it? That is a sin. Lust, envy, coveting the girl. And this sin leads Herod to make another mistake of offering the girl whatever she wants. And what does the girl request? The head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king and King Herod's response to this request, he orders the murder of John and his head to be brought to her. Yet just another sin to add on to the already long list of sins, where one sin of unlawful marriage leads to another, which leads on to another, and so on. If we take one more look at our driveway incident, a few days later your spouse asked you again when you come home from work, "Are you sure you didn't reverse the car into the fence?" I was talking to our neighbour Mr. Jones today and he said he heard a thud like someone had hit the fence the other day, and then he saw you get out the car to inspect. Now you're really between a rock and a hard place. But the opportunity to own up to your mistake is there. It is staring you in the face. But your sinful nature, your pride gets in the way once more. "No, I didn't reverse into the fence." And to rub salt into the wound, you get angry with your spouse for getting asked the same question again. King Herod, much like our driveway incident, he also had one more chance to stop the snowballing effect of sin. I read verse 26, which is after the girl makes her request. "The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oath and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her." When we evaluate this final self-inflicted rock and hard place situation of this text, we see that Herod is not repentant for his actions at all. Yes, he is feeling bad about the whole thing, but he's not owning up to it. He's not taking any responsibility for his foolish actions. Herod's probably thinking, better that John's head gets chopped off than my royal ego getting cut down. Pride is the reason behind these sinful actions, because Herod's pride doesn't allow room for making mistakes, for admitting his sins. And the same is for us too. Our pride gets in the way from us admitting fault, from us owning up to our sins. Pride continually gets us in a situation where we are between a rock and a hard place. Now you might be thinking, well, this seems like all doom and gloom. All we do is sin and sin again and sin some more. And yes, this is what the text is teaching us in the narrow sense. But what can we learn from the text in the broader sense? Where does John the Baptist fit in this equation? Why has Mark put this account of John's death in this particular spot in his gospel? Brothers and sisters, John the Baptist foreshadows and prepares us for what is going to happen to Jesus. And John was already doing this in Mark's gospel account right back in chapter 1 when he prepares the way for the coming of Jesus. And now John is preparing the way and warning us about the upcoming death of Jesus. John is foreshadowing something very important: our salvation. And there is a similarity between the Herod and Pilate, between Herod and Pilate, when dealing with John the Baptist and Jesus respectively. Both Herod and Pilate get caught up in their pride. They both knew what the right thing to do was, yet they both gave in to the pressure of wanting to please the crowd. They both sentenced people to death rather than doing the right thing. Friends, I want to highlight one very important distinct difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. John is the victim of a sinful person who is in between a self-inflicted rock and hard place. Jesus is also the victim of the sinful human nature when he was put to death. But most of all, with Jesus, he is the rescuer of people who are in between a rock and a hard place. Jesus was put to death in order to conquer the death that we deserve. Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has paid the price for all our sins, including the sins which snowball from one sin onto another. The death of Jesus, which John the Baptist foreshadows, it is wonderful news for us, because Jesus is the fulfillment of God's gracious plan, the fulfillment which ushers in a new era, the era which John the Baptist points us towards, an era full of grace, full of forgiveness, full of salvation, full of hope, full of certainty. Jesus, in this new era, he not only rescues us from the rock and hard place situation we find ourselves in, but he then takes away our sin and restores us to God. We are no longer in between a rock and a hard place because of Jesus' intervention. Jesus has picked us up out of the sinful place, this place where our pride abounds, a place which would lead to despair, were it not for his gracious intervention. And Jesus has placed us in a spot where God sees us righteous and just in his eyes. Brothers and sisters, in closing, next time you find yourself in a rock and a hard place situation because of a sin committed, own up to it and turn to Jesus, because he has already rescued you from that tight spot. Jesus has already paid the price for that sin. Jesus has already saved you. thanks be to God for this gracious gift of Jesus, who rescues us all. Amen.